Hey, welcome back. This is Modern Business Podcast, the podcast for franchise entrepreneurs and entrepreneurs. We're on day number 10, and we are in, what's the technical city? Is it Lakeview?
Lake Forest.
Lake Forest. So we're in Lake Forest, California, and we are at the headquarters of Del Taco. And we're very much looking forward to this episode. We're actually looking at, we're in a conference room, and we're looking at this awesome, basically kind of drive-through order menu. And so we'll probably chat on a bunch of different topics. Zach, it looks like you were going to say something. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, it looks pretty good, to be honest with you.
I know, we didn't have breakfast today.
I know, we really didn't. And we had bagels in front of us, but we just didn't do anything. And that, you know, the one of like the breakfast burritos or something looks pretty good. I don't know.
Yeah, I would like to have the breakfast burrito, but we have even a better item on the menu today.
Yes, we
and
do.
That's another amazing episode to bring to you guys. Very quickly, Zach, what do we want to do top of house announcements wise?
I think that we need to shout out the text community again. We've had some more and more subscribers that have been coming to modernbusiness.com and have actually been filling that out and getting involved and giving us some ideas for some guests and things like that. So please feel free to do that. Also, also, you know, subjects too. You know, we have a lot of people that have been reaching out to us, just giving us some ideas.
Yeah, ideas on topics, guest recommendations, chat with us, tell me I talk too much. Whatever you would like. Also, if you're interested in connecting with one of the brands that you've heard and you're interested in becoming a franchisee, you can shout out to us there as well, and we'll make sure that you get connected. And then any final updates?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the only other thing that I want to make sure that people know about is the conferences that we have coming up. You know, they're in addition to the ones that we're hosting, Springboard and Young Conference, we obviously have, you know, many others that Ryan and I will be at. I would imagine that we're likely not going to be sleeping in our own beds very much in the fall.
But we're already setting the precedence now.
Yeah, we certainly are. This is going to be no different than what the fall will be like, except maybe in more hotels. But, you know, multi-unit franchise conference is coming up with Franchise Update. And then, of course, we're doing, you know, Springboard 26th to 28th of September in Philly, and then Young Conference October 31st to November 2nd in Fort Lauderdale.
Beautiful. Well, we will segue straight into bringing our guest in, and we'll save the backstory because we'll let him tell kind of a quick snippet of his backstory and career journey. But we are sitting at the Del Taco headquarters, as I've already mentioned. We're with the Chief Marketing Officer, Tim Hackbart. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Thank you for taking the time with us this morning. And I'm hoping we can maybe get one of these breakfast burritos.
We could probably work a little something out.
Love it. Well, let's kick it off and just hear, like I already mentioned, a little bit about your story and your career journey thus far. What brought you here?
Well, what brought me to Del Taco? Well, I've been to Del Taco a couple times now, which is kind of interesting. But actually, it's a pretty interesting story how I originally got to Del Taco. I worked for another brand, another Mexican QSR brand, up in the Northwest. And the year was 1999. And Nation's Restaurant News had a multi-unit food service operator conference. And at that time, they would give out awards each year for advertising. Okay. And we won at that brand that I was at, best television campaign of the year. And they asked me to come speak, you know, and talk about it, that type of thing. And did that, showed that creative. And the president of Del Taco and the head of franchise development literally walked from the back of the room straight to see me when it was all done and said, hey, let's go out to the pool and have a chat, and started to recruit me because they liked so much of what they saw. That's how I actually got here.
I love it.
The first time.
I love it.
Yeah. So head of marketing in the early 2000s, had a great run, you know, 4 years, take any metric you want to take, same store sales, profitability, EBITDA, average unit volume, anything, all record setting. Increase same store sales every single month of that 48 month run. went off, did some other things, and had a multi-unit restaurant, basically chain restaurant consulting firm that I started. And Del Taco would ask me to come back in pretty much every year to work on a very large strategic project for them, whatever it may be. And so it was kind of like over a number of years did that. And then ultimately down the road, John Capasola, originally he was chief marketing officer when he would bring me in for things like that. Eventually he became CEO. So we got to know each other over a nice long period of time. And then when he was kind of looking for who his chief marketing officer was going to be at this particular time, gave me a call and said, hey, meet me at Starbucks. I want to talk to you about something.
Wasn't the pool this time. It was more serious.
Yeah.
I gotta get some coffee.
Well, the pool, I got a beer. He gave me a coffee. I kind of like the beer one first.
I feel you on that.
A little bit more fun, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're curious, you know, you've had a career, you know, within this particular, you know, not only within the restaurant space, but within the niche, within the restaurant space, you know, talk a bit about, you know, as the brand has evolved, talk a bit about, you know, some of the differentiation points that you have against others within, you know, not only within the restaurant space, but really more concretely within the segment.
So in the career now, between either working at a restaurant chain, I owned an advertising agency for a period of time. We had restaurant chains. I had my consulting firm, restaurant chains. I've now worked on 25 different restaurant chains over that period of time. So with our brand, how does that stand out, right? So we're in the Mexican QSR space, you know. There's a couple of areas that you stand out on. One is we actually do a fair amount of cooking in the restaurant, okay? So we actually make our own guacamole fresh every day from scratch, cutting avos and making guacamole, right? We take 40-pound blocks of aged cheddar cheese and actually shred that throughout the day as we need it. So, you know, classic QSR is going to get shredded cheese, is going to come in a bag, and it's got what's called an anti-caking agent on it, right? It's got a bunch of starch and things like that. None of that. We take a big old block of cheese, shred it all throughout the day as we need it. So actually a little bit of work there, right? We're going to fresh grill our chicken. I can kind of go on for hours on this stuff, right? We fresh make pico de gallo, on and on and on, right? So that's one big difference, especially from our primary competitor that doesn't have as much fresh prep, right? So that's one piece. We do very, very well in relationship to having a menu that fits a number of different occasions, depending on what your occasion is. And everybody has a different occasion at a different time. Sometimes you just need a snack. Sometimes you want a bigger meal. Sometimes you don't have a lot of money. Sometimes you want to have that Friday paycheck burrito, right? And we're able to have the classic barbell menu from everything from $1 to $5 plus for a larger entree. So it fits a lot of different occasions, right? I think one of the things that I like to talk about Del Taco that, and one of the reasons I always said, people would always ask me, right? Hey, what was the favorite brand you ever worked on kind of thing? And I said, well, from the opportunity to really drive a brand and drive sales, Del Taco was always it. And one of the unique things about Del Taco is that we have 5 day parts that we do well in. It's very, very rare.
Yeah.
So normally, and especially if you're a franchisee, right, and you're kind of looking for a brand to invest in, you know, the majority of brands that you have available to you really only have 2 day parts. They have lunch and dinner, breakfast and lunch, right? They really don't have a lot more than that. Or you may have pizza, and pizza would be dinner and later, okay? It's like this 2 day part thing, right? And, you know, landlords have figured that out, you know, and they're able to price their real estate, you know, appropriately. With us, 5 day parts, and we do well in all of them. We've got breakfast, we've got lunch. We are the classic place for the UPS or the FedEx driver to flow through at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon when they need a big drink and just a bite, you know, a couple of bites, that kind of thing. And it doesn't have to cost them a lot of money. Okay. So we've got afternoon snack. That is a normal day part. We don't have to convince anybody about that. Okay. Then we have dinner, very classic for us, okay? The other thing that's great for Del Taco is we have late night, and we're known for late night. We have been known for years. That's the place you go after you've been partying, while you're partying, you know, it's open. So 70 to 75% of all of our locations are open 24 hours.
Wow.
So find a brand that has five day parts. That's really crazy rare, right? And when you think about from a marketer or from a franchise investor that wants to invest in a business, that opens you up to be able to continually play cards to drive sales, right?
Big time.
Right? And I don't have to overly convince somebody that, you know, come in here for breakfast, come in here for late night, right? Those are all things that are built into the brand, and they're believable by the consumer. And it's not like I have to be Wendy's and have to roll out, you know, breakfast somewhere, right? And they did a great job, don't get me wrong or whatever, but that's a big heavy lift, right?
Yep.
You'll go after that new day part. And often, unless you invest additional dollars into going after that day part, you're pulling away from your primary day part that you were supporting for the last number of years, right?
Exactly.
And all of a sudden that starts to go down, right? So it's a pretty cool brand in that respect. So we like to say, you know, we start with service, you know, and we serve with freshness and value, that kind of thing, you know. That's a lot about Del Taco, you know, fairly wide menu. Very unique. We've done a lot of things over the past year to take our menu and really create categories and flavors and stories that are very unique and very different than our competitors. Because at the end of the day, that's what you want, right? You don't want to be a commodity. You don't want to be the same as everybody else. You don't want to be a me too. You need to differentiate the brand, differentiate your menu. So a little bit about that.
That's beautiful. We've obviously just lived through a pandemic, mm-hmm. and we were chatting before that it was just such a wild time. How did you as a marketer approach, you know, I'm sure that you had a lot of things to think about messaging wise and all the rest, but how did you approach it and how has it ultimately played out thus far? Like, what's the state of the union? Just kind of talk through both mm-hmm. of those, I guess, state of the union and how you approached it, what you saw and what you did.
So approaching it was very natural for myself. Okay. And that's because in my consulting business for restaurant chains, I had a very, very strict niche. Okay. And my niche was turnarounds. Okay. So if you had a failing brand, you've been down double digits, triple digits. Like I would go into brands that were down 30% over a 3-year period of time. Okay. Right. They're knocking on the door, bankruptcy, you know, yep. whatever it may be. Okay. And they need to fix this and fix it now. Right. That's what I did for a living for years. Okay. I just go in these things, figure it out, get the turnaround plan done in 90 to 120 days. Turnaround plan was always done in 90 to 120 days. Okay. And on the way to that, we would find things inside of there where we could drive sales, okay? So very, very natural when pandemic hits, right? You need to freaking focus, okay? So we call it military terms, right? We are going to parachute in, we are gonna secure the perimeter, and we are going to identify the high value targets and take them out.
Love that.
Okay? That's what we're gonna do. So when that happened, I sat my staff down and said, okay, because literally it happened, you know, 4 to 6 weeks after I started here. Now, fortunately, I knew a lot about Del Taco and I knew everybody here already because I had been doing
You already had the keys, as you mentioned.
Right, right. I already had door code, right? So, and I'd already been deep into, you know, big pieces of Del Taco in the projects that I was working on for them. I sat my staff down and said, okay, right now, this is what we're doing today. We're going to go through the entire list of what are we working on, okay? Right. And in every single area in this department. And if it is not something that is going to get us 3 to 10% comp store sales, we aren't working on that anymore. That's over. Because we got to get laser focused on what we can win at, and we got to do it now. So what do you got for me?
Yeah.
Innovation session.
I mean, it's an innovation session, but it's tactically focused. It's just a focused conversation. It's mm-hmm. it's all this other stuff is noise.
It's all noise, right?
Yeah.
Right. Like there's some project about how thick the lettuce shred should be. A lot of meetings about the lettuce shred size, right? Like, okay, we're not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
Cross that one off the list.
So for, as you, I think the two things in that. One is just, I think the audience would love to hear about how you approach the turnaround plan. It sounds like that's the answer. It's like mm-hmm. just laser focus on the top priority things, exactly mm-hmm. what you just said, 3 to 10% comp sales. And then the second component is what you did during the pandemic. So what was that for Del Taco? What was that for your team whenever the pandemic hit and you had that laser focus? What ultimately were the initiatives that you can share with us that you focused on?
So let's start with getting everybody in the right mindset. Mm-hmm. So part of it was 3 to 10%, right? Comp store sales, okay? Second thing is, America right now is kind of depressed, you know, on so many different levels, right? Okay, there's so many different levels. And my VP of marketing, Noah, was working on something one day and kind of showed me this graphic and this thing that he's working on. And it was all about delivering smiles, okay? And I was talking to some other folks on my team, and by this time we'd all scattered into, you know, our houses and apartments and things like that. And you have to think about that, right? And one of the people on my team said, you know, because we're here in California, complete lockdown, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's like, you know, the only thing you can really do is go drive-through right now. And that person in the drive-through, he goes, I live alone in my apartment. I don't see anybody. That might be the only person I talk to all day.
Wow.
Okay. So what we got laser focused on was our brand attitude and how we could deliver smiles through that drive-through, right? So we made masks that had funny mustaches on them and little sayings on them and things like that, because that was the only communication, right? So we're like, we'll just put something on the masks that make everybody have a little smile. And it was just a little piece of entertainment for that day, right? And that was the entertainment because, you know, we were getting these minivans coming through and it was the whole family. That was the entertainment for the day for them. They went out to get food at a drive-through and went home, right?
To watch Netflix.
Right. So if I could have a funny little thing or something to make them smile just on the mask of the person that they're talking to, we accomplished the goal, right? Then in our agencies, we also switched agencies during that time. Okay. And we had a meeting. Everybody had masks on. They have a big warehouse space. We could kind of spread out, but I wanted everybody there personally. Right. And then we had other people that were on, you know, video call. And I said, okay, there's a box right here. Okay. And I took everything out of the box. I go, there's a big old table back there. I go, okay, this is what we're going to be working on. Okay. Back there are a bunch of notebooks. Everybody likes to have those fun little cool little notebooks to write in. Right. I said, I bought notebooks for all you guys. But on the cover, it says the same thing. Although there's about 7 or 8 different styles back there, but they all say the same thing, do epic shit, okay? We don't get hired, okay, to do average shit. And right now in the pandemic, we gotta do epic shit just to survive, okay? So that's what we're doing here, people. Do epic shit. Now, whatever's under that, we'll figure it out. But that's how we're gonna start every day.
Which I love because it's almost, it's in alignment with the focus. Here's what we're focused on. If it doesn't achieve XYZ goal, and right. The only way to do it is to do epic shit.
That's the only way it's going to happen. Okay, average ain't gonna work, right? So that was our focus, right? So then we proceeded forward to take the brand to another level of personality. Back in the 2000s, our brand had a lot of personality in what we did, right? It got a little monotone over the years. one of the reasons I got brought back in, because that's what I'm kind of known for, is bringing a personality back into a brand and have an energy, right? So we wrapped ourselves around that. We wrapped ourselves around, but it's got to put a smile on people's face, okay? So I guess the best example of that is we started to come in and promote a little crispy chicken. Gosh, who does that these days, right? Right. We did ours in a different way, where we truly utilized our barbell situation, where we created crispy chicken tacos. They only cost $1, okay? So you kind of get your little crispy chicken comfort food that was big in the pandemic for $1. But then we also always created a really cool epic burrito. And that epic burrito, basically epic burritos are about, you know, the size of a fast casual style burrito, okay? But you can get it at Del Taco quickly in a drive-thru. Generally, that price point's about $5 to $6.50, mm-hmm. very affordable, as opposed to fast casual, which is generally about 9 to 11, depending on what you put in it, okay? And oh, by the way, I can get you that $5 burrito with crispy chicken in it with fresh guacamole for $5.
Yeah, without getting out of your car.
Yeah, without getting out of your car. Right? Great, fresh, incredible, cool product, right? We launched that. And one of the ways we launched that to put a smile on folks' face is we did a partnership with Cholula sauce, okay? Mm. Hot sauce.
I love Cholula sauce.
Great. Yeah.
We're going to Del Taco for lunch.
I know.
So to do that, agency was talking about a bunch of different ideas, and I saw this one idea, and it was sort of a social media idea, and I'm like, no, I think that's a campaign, okay? And the idea was that they created this character that would troll us on the internet, okay, or on our social things, and his name was Chris P, and he loved crispy chicken, okay? Chris P, right? And so I'm like, wait a minute, I think there's a pretty cool idea in that. And so we made Chris P into a full-on, you know, character for commercials and things like that. And his big debut was with his brand, Crispy Tiger, which was a big hairband, okay? And he came out and talked about, you know, Cholula. We had a Cholula guitar in the thing, and, you know, stuff blew up and everything on stage, and it was a whole metal hairband kind of a thing, right? Again, okay, we got this cool product, but let's put a smile on some folks' faces, right? And then we continued him into different genres as we had different flavors of product. So then we add honey mango, okay? So the honey mango, why do we do that flavor? Well, what we did is, I always believe that 80% of my research is done by other people. So what are the popular flavors for, say, wing sauces, for chicken nuggets and things like that? Well, one of the most popular is sweet and sour, okay? So how do you do sweet and sour for Del Taco? Put a little Mexican twist to it, honey mango, okay? Get the mango part into it, right? So we created this sauce. It goes on the crispy chicken taco, pretty tasty. It's sticky and sweet. So Chris P and his Crispy Boys boy band were in that commercial, okay?
This is great.
Right. They did another one because it was Lent, and we came out with shrimp. We've had shrimp tacos for years, jumbo shrimp tacos, but we put the honey mango sauce, sweet sour shrimp kind of thing, right? Crispy Boys sing about that, and then we had a and they're pretty funny, right? Then we had barbecue, but we did Chipotle barbecue, kind of make it Mexican, right? And then he was a country singer kind of a thing, right? So Chris P did all those. So it created sort of this episodic campaign that people look forward to, like, you know, what's he going to sing next? What genre? You know, you can't keep Chris P's musical talent down, you know? That's he can awesome. Sing the phone book. So things like that, yeah. You know, just to make it fun. So those are sort of the early days. There's some really fun stuff that came later, but that's some of the early day stuff. Yeah.
Very interesting. And, you know, I'm curious, you know, in addition to menu innovation, which you talked a bit about, mm-hmm. you know, I'm sure that there was some, you know, some technological, you know, efficiencies that you guys had to come up with. We heard, in an interview yesterday that, you know, 2020 allowed people to do 5 years of innovation in 1 year.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious to hear what, you know, what you guys were doing, you know, during the pandemic and beyond, you know, things that probably changed the brand forever that you guys weren't doing before, but now we'll continue to do to just to gain an edge now.
I think the things during the pandemic were more things that we had set up or just got set up and we scaled. And I think that's what the pandemic did for a lot of brands, is that it made them scale things faster. In some cases, especially in casual dining, they had to make new stuff up and they had to do it now, you know, because I used to live in that world. But for us, it was really, I think, more about scaling pieces we had in place in most cases already. So you see like the outside order taker, okay? We've had outside order takers since I was here in the 2000s with tablets kind of thing, right? Or some form of that, right? And we had that, but then we scaled it big time because we really need to just, you know, get people through that drive-through as fast as possible, right? So we scaled technology we already had. Delivery, scaled that. We had scaled it pretty good for the company locations. Franchisees were lacking, you know, lagging a little bit on that, but we were all set up to really kind of go on that as well. So I think for us, it was more scale, scale, scale. And we had most everything in place. Actually, non-technology, more analog form things were much more interesting, I think. So for the drive-through, now that's all you can do, right? Can't really walk in. All you can do is drive through. And now these lines, like customers are like just like making their own lines. And there's like, you know, three lines going into one line because they're just out in like some, you know, Walmart parking lot because it's gone that far, right? Kind of a thing. So one of my favorite innovations is our operations team just started running to Home Depot and buying traffic cones. Because we needed traffic cones to show everybody where to go,
yep,
and how to line up.
It's a great problem to have, though.
Too
many
great
people in line, and
yeah,
you know, scaling up the technology to be able to check folks out sooner. It's a good problem to have.
Yeah, it's a good problem to have. Yeah, yeah. So you know, those were some of the things. We already had a mobile app where you could have non-contact pay, so that was already in place. You could order ahead. Right. So you could do all of those different things, you know, with that technology. So we were in a pretty good place. But at the same time, we still had, you know, some franchise groups that were kind of behind on their updates and things like that, on their point of sale software and things like that. So we were able to work with kind of everybody. And that's one of the beautiful things for today is that we've pretty much kind of updated the whole system now, and everybody's on the same platform. And often when you're in brands that have been around many, many years, oh, well, that group over there has a different point of sale. This group over here has the same point of sale, but it's, you know, like six versions ago, right? That kind of thing. And that's one of the great areas right now for us as a brand. We are all set up on the same level playing field at almost all 600 locations.
Yeah. So fast forward to the end of the pandemic, it sounded like there were some other neat things that you were working on. Do you want to talk through any of that?
At the end.
Well, not that I guess we're not nearing the end.
We're
not even at the end, but
yeah. You know. Well, normalizing.
I live in Texas, so I have a different daydream going on. And then I come to California and it's just different.
Tell me what you're kind of fishing for there.
I don't know. You were talking about this campaign and Chris P and the hair band.
And
you just made mention, you know, that's some of the early on in the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And you said there were some cool things that you guys either are working on today or that you did a little bit later.
Oh, yeah. I think it's still in the same smile format, though.
Got it.
Putting a smile on people's face. So, one of the things on culinary innovation, okay, is that, and this sort of comes from my years of working with other brands and working on helping them do turnarounds. Mm-hmm. is pouring through menus and finding hit products that are on your menu that you don't know are on there, okay? And so I have a very simple way of doing that, and that is I pour through the product mix, see how things are selling, and generally there is a product that is selling well
that you would never expect,
despite all the things you did to it over the last 10 years. You've treated it poorly. You've called it names. You know, you tell it to get out of your house. It's still there. It's still existing. And usually you can find about, you know, one or two items that are like that, that you can then go, okay, well, it's still here. It's still living. We did all these terrible things and it's still holding on. Okay. How do we bring that little guy back to life? Right. Because it's got something, obviously, because the customer still likes it. Right. So there was a product that was launched here in 2013 called the Crunch Tata. And it's a large oversized tostada. So flat taco shell, basically. Yeah. Right. And stuff on top. Right. And, John, our CEO, and he was head of marketing, launched that line of products. It was pretty simple, regular tostada with bean, cheese, lettuce, sauce, that kind of deal, tomatoes. And then you'd have the option of either getting ground beef or chicken on it. Okay, pretty simple.
Sure.
But that was one of like the biggest hits ever during his time as head of marketing. And I remembered that, right? And I'm looking at the product mix and I'm like, God, Crunch Tata is still selling. This is pretty cool. I'm like, okay. So this was last spring, like right when I kind of got here kind of thing and the pandemic was happening. And like, how would you do that today? How would you make that, if you're just going to go launch that today, what would that be like, right? So we reinvented the entire line of Crunch Tatas, kept the classic bean and cheese one, but made completely different recipes. And at that time, because it was like April, just wasn't anywhere on like the promotional time frame in 2020 that it seemed to fit. They were really great products, but it just didn't seem to fit anywhere. So I said, okay, great job, culinary. We're just going to put that on the shelf, right? Hey, it's a pipeline thing. Got it on the shelf. It's all done, ready to go, all approved. Operations likes it, da-da-da. We'll put it over here till it speaks back to us, right? So fast forward, we get into the pandemic and our major competitor deletes the Mexican pizza from their menu. And the internet goes crazy. They're all ticked off about it, that they can't get their Mexican pizza anymore. And a petition starts. And this petition starts.
I remember this.
Right? And to date, there's over 160,000 signatures on it petitioning our major competitor to bring back the Mexican pizza. Looks like there's a market for it. Let's get the old Crunch Tata off the shelf, right? So, but when we came to reintroduce that product line, we utilized that great story that everybody was already talking about. So we entered the conversation, okay? And how we entered the conversation is we created, if you're kind of familiar with the kind of the cheesy lawyer commercials on television, call 1-800 and we'll fight for you, you know, yeah, blah, blah, blah.
In Texas, we have a lot of those.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Well, a lot of bad drivers in Texas.
Yeah. Yeah. So we created one, injury lawyer, right? So we created one of those, but it was 1-8-7-7-3, I can't remember it now, but but it was Dell will fight for you. And it was all about, 1-8-7-7-3-GHOSTED. Okay. Have you been ghosted by a major Mexican fast food chain? Are you missing your Mexican pizza?
That is so great.
Call 1-8-7-7-3-GHOSTED and Dell will fight for you. And we had an actual call center with actual people who would talk to you. And they would give you a code for a buy one, get one, you know, kind of a thing, right? And so it was huge. And I mean, it just went, in today's news cycle, you get like a day of that, right?
It's trending on Twitter for an entire day.
This went on for weeks. We kept getting press about it, right?
God.
But and everybody's laughing and having a good time with it. So it's again back to that nice little smile for Del Taco, you know, having a little fun.
You were trending on Twitter in Chicago, and you guys don't even have anything in Chicago.
No,
it was unbelievable. I remember that.
That's incredible because that has to be one of the most rewarding parts of your job and your role and your leadership is you. And I also love, by the way, how you kind of walk through the mindset thing first and talk through the backstory, and then we see the result, because then you go look at the sales of that item. That has to be the most rewarding thing, but that also drives franchise development. It drives everything.
Well, it drives everything. Right. But most importantly, it drives the connection emotionally to my brand, right?
Yep.
Like, I like your brand. You guys are fun. You know, I might like that product too, but I personally, yeah, that was kind of funny what you guys did there. I kind of like you guys. I might start paying more attention to you right now, you know, that kind of thing. I'd say really the most rewarding part, especially about that particular you know, strategy and creative and everything, is that I had nothing to do with it.
That's awesome.
I had something to do with bringing the Crunch Tata back, but when it comes to the actual, you know, the 1-800 Ghosted and all that stuff, I mean, that was truly, I would say, our best cross-functional of all of our creative and our internal marketing team to date, where it was like our PR firm came up with that idea, which was great. Our internal marketing team 100% embraced it and took it to the next level. Our creative agency came through with all the creative, okay? And they did all of it, and I didn't touch any of it, right? They did it all. But we set them up to be able to have the attitude that they could go after that, right?
What I found interesting, though, is as you talk through, the first thing you do is you approach a turnaround brand, which was almost the exact same thing and methodology that you did joining Del Taco right prior to the pandemic. When the pandemic hit, you kind of walked through the framework. And I think this is tremendously valuable for the audience. But, you know, a lot of people might turn to these new innovations, but you're basically saying it's also in your framework to go regularly back in the past in your career to go look and find those items. But then there's the layer on top of it. I have a buddy of mine that he wrote a book called Laughing at Wall Street. I was playing his YouTube video last night, and Zach's like, what are you watching over there? But he has this whole thing. He does social arbitrage investing. So he finds through data, and he built this whole listening platform called Ticker Tags, and investment shops use it to discover trends. But basically what I'm getting at is that not only did you find that, but you found the perfect moment to pull it back off the shelf,
right?
Because you have data, and then there's this story and narrative behind it, and you play off of that. And it's almost like you had a little bit of a framework. Did you have a military background?
No.
Okay. Because you spoke about, you know, the tactics and how military approaches things. It seems like you're very methodical, but you're also, you've got this strategic brain and creative element. So that's unique. Zach, where do you want to go from here? Because I'll keep digging down this rabbit hole. So
I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to get a word in, but
I mean, stopped myself on purpose.
Yeah, sometimes he has to do that. But, you know, I'm curious too, because, you know, we're dealing with this labor shortage, and I think, and on the question of just creativity, we've seen a lot of brands come up with some really cool ideas from their marketing department to just get people, you know, to engage with the brand on an emotional level. And I'm curious, you know, just from a marketing, you know, from an operational side, there's things that you can do, incentives that you can have, and I think that that's really important. But I think that from a marketing brain, and I'm just curious to hear, is there anything that you guys have done from a marketing campaign standpoint that's funny and interesting that you wouldn't mind sharing at all?
I think, you know, what we tried to help them with, our operations team, is, you know, the internal culture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when I talked about the masks with kind of fun sayings, yeah, or mustache on it or whatever, you know, that kind of thing, we brought that to the table. And we brought the whole idea of that whole smile thing I talked about, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So the whole theme on that was Del's Daily Smile. Okay. our job is to put a smile on people's faces every single day. Dell's Daily Smile. So when you wake up, you come to work, you know, come to work, put a smile on your coworker's face, come to work and put a smile on the faces of the customers, because it's tough out there for America today, right? So how are all the different ways we can come up with Dell's Daily Smile, right? And we're kind of taking that theme and showing it cross-functionally to the rest of the organization, and especially operations. You know, that's where we brought in the concept of the masks, right? You know, so if you're working with somebody and they've got kind of a fun little mask on, as opposed to just a black mask, mm-hmm. right?
Sure.
Or whatever, it's a little more fun to work there,
yeah.
you know? And it sets a tone of what we're all about at Del Taco. It's a little billboard of the tone of the brand. And if everybody's wearing that inside of the brand, everybody gets the tone, yeah. right? Without having to go, here are our, you know, our goal or our values.
Yeah, and, here's our core know. Values. Like right. They know it, and they know it by feeling it, by right. seeing it.
Right, right. So then they took that, and they took it further into Dell's Daily Smile. And every, you know, week they delivered who's put smiles on people's faces and gave examples of that, you know, things maybe they did in the community for, you know, first responders or something else they did for a coworker and so on and so forth, right? So what we really tried to do was create that culture because culture is the one that wins at the end of the day. You don't go, all the studies have always shown, right, that people like to work at places they like to work at, right? They will forego going other places for larger amounts of money if they like to work at the place, they like the people that they work. Those are the most important things at the end of the day. So that's more of what we focused on, right? And some of the things we brought to the table.
Is there anything as it relates to social media that you think we should cover? Obviously, you have these national campaigns that you run. You probably take elements of that and also run on social maybe. But just talk about how you approach social. And
yeah, we approach it completely differently than that.
Yeah, I would love to hear.
Yeah. Really how we approach social now is content for the social channel that it's in.
Yep, okay. Contextual.
Right. So the sort of age group and the attitude and how people act and how they like to see things and consume media on Facebook is completely different than Instagram, completely different than TikTok, okay? So if I take my big hairband ad, okay, and I put that onto TikTok, that don't work.
Yep, not at all.
Not at all, right, okay? So it's a lot more work, right? But what we're really focusing on, and you know, I'd say we've gotten tremendously better. I don't think we're there yet. And it's always freaking changing, right? But we're getting a lot better on being able to create content for each individual channel that makes sense for that each individual channel. That's what we're really trying to accomplish. So if we have Crunch Tata, and that's one of our products, what you see on Instagram will probably be completely different than what you see on television, what you hear on radio, and what you see on Facebook.
As for local playbook wise, do you do anything to bring, you know, this Dell's Daily Smiles, bring in that culture to life? Is there anything that you do or encourage, I guess I should say, franchisees on the local level?
Yeah, we highly encourage franchisees. I mean, that's the game, is the local level.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you're a mid-sized brand like us. You know, you have to win on the local level.
What's the updated unit count, by the way?
Just a little over 600.
600.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right around there. But local level's the game, okay? I don't care who you are. And, you know, when it came to, in my consulting days, when we'd sit down with these turnarounds, right? Ultimately, everybody kind of start going through this process of like, well, who are the leaders? What do they do well? Let's learn, you know, again, 80% of the research done by somebody else, you know, go figure that out, right? And you know, let's take a very high volume leader, and I'm happy to say their name, Chick-fil-A, okay? What do they do well? Local level, right? You know, in my town, they have a daddy-daughter night once or twice a year. They put white tablecloths on the table, flowers on the table. Dad and daughter dress up to come to Chick-fil-A. And this particular location hires a horse and carriage for horse and carriage rides. Do you think that daughter is going to eat anywhere else ever in her history of her life than that Chick-fil-A where she has that hopefully good memory, right? That's you talk about emotional connection, man. That's huge, right? Yeah. Right? So that's some of the things we're working on right now. Again, we're not there, is how do we really do that with Del Taco in our communities and on a local level to really, really dial in and be part of that that community and put that smile on that person's face and have a lasting memory. And that creates loyalty.
100%. I want to switch gears into franchise development a little bit,
More
on the marketing side. And I think that, you know, what I'm wondering is I know that you guys have been historically a brand that has stayed, you know, west of the Mississippi, we'll call it. But I think that the plan is to make it eastward, right? I think that is something that you guys would like to do at some point. And I know that that's something that, you know, is on the roadmap for the future. So I'm curious, you know, what, you know, from a marketing perspective, how are you guys envisioning, you know, marketing this to people who may not have as much of a connection with the brand? Is there any thought that you guys have put into that for somebody who might be in, you know, South Carolina that hasn't really had a lot of exposure to Del Taco?
So a couple things. First of all, is I would say we used to be a brand that wasn't, you know, on the East, but now we're on the East. So we've been in Atlanta for quite a long time. We made that a company hub. One of the unique things about Del Taco is that, you know, we have half of the locations are company restaurants.
Yes.
Okay. Which I think is very important. And we always talk about it with our potential franchise partners is that it's not like you're going into an asset-light company and they're living off of your royalty. Okay. Right. We are living off of our own EBITDA. Okay. And so we're going to make really good operational decisions and financial decisions because it hits us and our public company much harder if we make a mistake, right? So generally, we're going to try not to make these mistakes. And we're thinking about operations and the same stuff you guys go through every single day, right? Mm-hmm. To do that, what we did is we went and planted a flag in Atlanta, okay, as our first move really in a big way to the East, okay? And we took the money, right? We spent our own money to go do that and start that area. Eventually, more franchisees, you know, came along with us in the state of Georgia. Now we're moved to Orlando. We have a mix of company and franchise owners there, right? And we just announced Tampa. So now you're starting to see Northern Florida grow, okay? We also just announced South Carolina that you just talked about.
Very cool.
Okay? Nice. And more Georgia, right? So that whole, like, you know, Southeast hub over the next couple of years is going to be pretty solid. It's going to be pretty good, you know? We also, a number of years ago, franchise, not company, started to move into the Detroit area, into Michigan, okay? This year, we opened up in Columbus, Ohio. So now we're starting to move into that upper Midwest piece, okay? And if you take the upper Midwest piece and you take the Southeast piece, well, next is Kentucky and Tennessee.
Come to Illinois. What are we waiting for?
Well, I call that upper Midwest.
I don't talk like I'm from Canada, do I, guess?
You need to talk closer to the mic or Ben's going to smack you.
I know. I don't talk like I'm from Canada, do I?
You
sorry,
do not.
Ben. Sorry, Ben.
I haven't heard you say you know yet.
No, I haven't. I haven't done that yet, but if you haven't heard me say...
Or I haven't heard an A.
You haven't heard me say hockey yet. There you go.
Yeah.
There it is.
Hockey, eh? Mm-hmm. So you got to put the A after hockey, then you're from Canada.
Well, exactly. So, you know, I'm
from Michigan, so that's why.
Oh, well, there you go. He understands.
Yeah. We call ourselves honorary Canadians because we take their quarters as full currency.
Well, there you go. I love that.
A Canadian
dig in Modern Business Podcast. I love it.
Yeah.
Our Canadian listeners, we're not sorry. It's okay.
We are absolutely not sorry.
Well, I'm interested. It's interesting to hear that, you know, because I think that there is, you know, you guys very much are known and have historically been a West Coast brand. And I'm sure that, you know, the success of that
in thinking about that too, you know, I'm sure that some of the best ways to be able to get into new markets that we've heard have been primarily through things like virtual, you know, virtual brands and ghost kitchens and things like that. So I'm, you know, I'm intrigued by that as a restaurant trend, because I think that that is a more cost-effective way to break into a market that you may not know. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I guess my overarching, you know, question to you is, you know, about, you know, some of the ways that you guys are innovating on your real estate model. And I'm sure as a marketer, it has been an interesting, you know, it has been an interesting challenge to be able to go out there and find interesting ways to present your brand other than, you know, the typical. So right. Is there anything that you guys have on the roadmap or things that you are currently doing today that are interesting and different than what you've historically done?
Yeah, which is hilarious, interesting story. So again, used to do all this consulting for Del Taco before I came in, right? Mm-hmm. And the very last project before John asked me to come on board was to create the new Del Taco experience, the new building, the new experience, the technology that might go into it, that kind of thing. That was the project, which many of the listeners have seen released recently as our, you know, our Fresh Flex concepts. Mm-hmm. And so what we kind of called it internally was menu of venues, that we would have different building styles and you know, different access for consumers, through different types of things that would fit different pieces of real estate, okay? From drive-through only to something with drive-through, maybe a little bit of seating, to full-on where you've got three lanes of drive-through, one that's mobile only, the other two that are, you know, traditional, that were also set up, by the way, so if mobile only ever becomes an even bigger thing because technology changes, you can just go take them, go take two of those drive-throughs for that and one for, you know, regular order. So it's all set up to kind of switch like that. So there's, and we thought about third-party delivery and where they come get their food, you know, pickup lockers and things like that if we need to. So we've got the thing really kind of set up to be able to flex in a lot of different ways, depending on how the market moves, technology changes, et cetera. And we're getting ready to open our first in Orlando in a couple of months.
Hence the name. It's flexible in a lot of different
ways. Very flexible. So very. It was kind of funny. Started it as a consultant, finished it off actually working at the company.
Yeah. I like the name too, internally, the menu of venues.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
Which one do you want?
Yeah.
Which one's going to fit the need in your market, right?
So as we near close here, any other major initiatives that or things that are on your mind that I think actually, let me reframe that. Okay. Are there any other trends that you're seeing that, you know, as Zach alluded to, virtual brands and ghost kitchens, there's mm-hmm. just a lot going on.
There's
times just changed,
on, yeah.
but
yeah.
anything that piques your interest, you know, maybe for a future date, and also any other top initiatives that you're working on?
Well, I think on the top initiatives, as far as our growth plans, okay, are a lot of the areas that I just talked about. We are, you know, very, very, very well set up right now in distribution situation to bring on franchise growth and company growth in Southeast, Upper Midwest, and then the in-between, the Kentuckys and Tennessees, all that. We are very actively attempting to fill right now, okay? And we're set up and ready to go, right? And then I think another area that people don't always think about, which is a great area for us, is the Northwest. So yeah, we're the West, but we're really not penetrated up in the Northwest. We're scattered. We have locations in Washington, in Oregon, in Idaho, you know, markets like that. But there's a lot of room there. And believe it or not, we have very few locations in the Bay Area.
Huh.
So that's like wide open. Like who wouldn't want to be in Pleasantville and places like that, or Pleasanton and, you know, places like that. Those great suburbs for us, you know. So all of that is 100%. We have so much potential growth. And if you're thinking about West Coast and where the brand has, you know, some knowledge, you know, people have knowledge of the brand. Well, where did everybody run to? over the last couple of months.
Well, like, everywhere else but here.
Everywhere else here. They went to Idaho. They went to, you know, right? They went to all those places I just talked about, right? So there's lots of Californians there that know about the brand, which is really great. So those are really great. So mountain states, that kind of thing. You know, we have plenty of room, right? Plenty of room for growth, plenty of room for deals to happen. So those are the areas that we're interested in, and we're actively pursuing those. And we have things going on. Hopefully they're going to, you know, happen there. And footholds in most of those areas, which is really cool. So that's kind of the growth story, right? So on trends, that's what you wanted to talk about, right? You know, the ghost thing is very interesting. You haven't seen a lot of QSRs play in that space. Yeah. They haven't had to as much exactly. because of drive-through, you know? I think that's one piece of it. I think the other piece is that, you know, I used to work in casual dining a lot. They're very big kitchens. You got a lot of room to spread out in a fast food situation. Those kitchens are packed, you know, you have very little room. So it's tough to kind of do a second brand in there. So that's a little more challenging. It's not impossible, but it's a little more challenging. And you'll see, you know, some of these other guys that are, you know, doing multi-concepts out of different things, you know, probably pickups, you know, some fast food things, but it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
With your day parts thing, yeah. you know, that's where there's not really the even need, because you do have five different day parts that right. you can service, whereas other brands might be a great opportunity if they don't have different day parts.
Correct. I think the other thing that's going to be interesting to watch is that I'm an advisor on a technology startup group out of San Diego called Evo Nexus. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's funded by Qualcomm and Sony and all kinds of stuff.
Small guys,
just little guys. Yeah. I don't know why they have me in there, but I'm in there. Okay. And I learn a lot from these guys about startups, you mm-hmm. know, and on technology startups, one of the very, very common themes is, be very, very careful about investing in a company that's building on the back of somebody else's technology. Okay?
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, well, I'm going to start this business. I'm going to sell everything on Amazon. Then Amazon sees, right, that, oh, there's a market for that. They create it and kill you. Yep. Kind of a thing, right? Or I build on the back of Facebook, and then Facebook changes something and my business goes away, right? So you have a lot of companies right now that are building on the backs of DoorDash and Uber Eats and all those guys.
I was just reading an article about one this morning.
Right? So. What if they don't want to play anymore? Oh, and oh, by the way, none of those guys have made money yet, right? And yeah. oh, by the way, there's going to be other people coming to the party with automated vehicles. And I mean, just on and on and on and on and on. And you're building this, I mean, there's a couple of companies out there that are literally funded with over $1 billion, right? That
the are one building I was reading on, about that are $1 billion.
Yeah, and they're building on the backs of that technology. Now they may be right. I'm not saying they're wrong, but you know, this stuff changes, right? Right.
Very quickly.
Very, very quickly. So it's going to be interesting to watch all that.
Yeah.
People are putting a lot of money in it. This isn't like entrepreneurial stuff. This is like, you know, it's like some guy, well, I got a good deal on this building over here or something. I'm going to do something. This is like $1 billion, buy a whole bunch of stuff, invest, go, run as fast as you can. And it'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah. Do you have any tactical areas that you're looking at because of that, or that's just more of a macro trend?
More of a macro trend.
Yeah. I mean, it's exactly accurate. Yeah. It's set up for some interesting things to happen. Well, we very much appreciate you coming on. Is there anything that we didn't ask that you think we should?
Oh, that was always the question I failed at in job interviews.
Same with me, honestly. Yeah.
Well, we just want to make sure we're being, you know, we're doing right by hosting. Zach was on an interview yesterday. We hosted someone in Chino Hills, and then they hosted him on their podcast. Mm-hmm. It's much easier, actually, to be interviewed because we feel a responsibility. So that's the reason why we ask it. I guess...
I think for the franchise community, you know, to learn a little bit more about the internal pieces of our brand or whatever, you know, and is that we, for a mid-sized brand, I think we're a very, very, very cool brand and very smart brand on how we do business, right? Mm-hmm. And how we're leveraging, you know, what we have. We're not going to have, you know, the dollars that Domino's has for technology, right? Okay, but we have dollars and we're doing a good job at it, right? So for an example, like, you know, we do a lot of customer research. Mm-hmm. And we have been able to automate that customer research, and we're going to be doing an even better job later this year. So today, if you go out and you buy that new Crunchtata product and you utilize our mobile app to either order it or, you know, however you interact, and we know you purchased that, you're going to get a survey within an hour. That soon. So it's not like I remembered it 5 days ago. We're going to do it right now because we know you ordered it. We know where you ordered it and when you ordered it. Okay. And we're going to be able to get that data back really fast. Okay. And we're expanding that capability to be able to have real time customer data throughout all of our stores, mm-hmm. right? Whether that be a product that they tried, whether that be they just ate somewhere. You know, we don't have to rely on them. The old thing of, oh, there's a survey at the end of the receipt.
Yeah.
I know you just ate there. I'm going to ask you about that independently. I'm not going to wait for you.
And right? Can you make it dynamic and smart based on what was purchased?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So changing the question.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, we can do all of that, right? And we're going to do more of it, right? So, so one of the things inside of our business is we are very, very, very focused on getting continual consumer data in real time, right? And we're pretty good at it now. I think we're going to be really good at it about a year from now.
Nice. That's awesome.
Right. And we're not going to wait for the customer to ask. We're going to ask the customer.
It's beautiful. Well, I think we should move to close out of respect for your time. We would love to have you back on the podcast. I know that we sent over some questions and I don't think we asked many of them, but Zach, I will give you the final parting words as we fade into some fade out music.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, I really appreciate being able to do this. You know, I am a student of marketing, quite literally. It's what I studied, and you very much remind me of a professor of mine that it was one of the only classes that I 100% attended all the time. So
Zach just called me an old man.
That's no, I did not. Right I called you a man I respect,
that,
which I think is even better.
I heard it. I heard it.
I called you a man I respect, which is even better. And look, I really appreciate you coming on. Some of the stories you've been able to tell have been so fascinating for me, and I actually learned a lot. So, you know, thank you for spending the time with us, and we're looking forward to hopefully having you back soon.
Cool, no problem.
Cheers, everybody.
Thanks, guys.